AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
0141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we head into a busy midweek on the continent and at home. Celtic are in Belgrade looking to put their Champions League exit behind them and get their Europa League campaign off to a positive start. Rangers gear up for the visit of Genk later in the week. And tonight, a huge night in the Premiership with Falkirk welcoming Hibs and out of form Aberdeen heading to Dundee United. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me you have Ross McCormack and Gordon DL.
Yes, after excitement of cup football at the weekend, then the draw, the protest, we had absolutely everything from Friday night, a terrific game down there at Rugby Park against Kilmarnock and St Mirren, and it led all the way through the weekend, Gordon. We've now got to look forward to two big nights in Europe for Celtic starting tomorrow night and Rangers. And obviously, if you're an Aberdeen fan, this may be a big night for you because you're sitting bottom of the league, you've been knocked out the cup, the fans are restless, and you're going to an informed Dundee United. You've got Falkirk v Hibs, and you've got good games in this Championship as well. Lot to look for.
That's a wee bonus that tonight. Usually these Europa League weeks, Ross, we're very much building up to the two games, and we are. But my goodness, Falkirk, Hibs and Dundee United, Aberdeen, absolutely massive already.
Huge, yeah. I've got to agree with Gordon there. I think Mr. Tilleen skating on thin ice, isn't he? No goals scored this season. Out the cup, bottom of the league. It does not make for good reading, does it? He'll need something there tonight, I feel.
Come on then, 0141-951-1025. That's the number you need, so let's hear from you. Let's talk about mood around Europe. What are you thinking for you Celtic fans and Rangers fans, particularly Celtic first up, because your game is tomorrow and we've got Gabriel, he's over there in Belgrade, he's going to be in Brendan Rodgers' press conference, he'll bring you everything you need to know. How do you feel about the Europa League now? Because we've probably spent every night since the Champions League exit looking at that in one way or another, because there was the initial disappointment, then it was what does it mean to the squad, the transfer window. That's what's all led to the anger and the frustration and the protests and some of the comments from Brendan Rodgers and some of the stories from within the club. It really all was lit by the Champions League exit. I know the picture is bigger than that, but that was the catalyst, wasn't it, that really kicked it all off. So how do you feel now that the Europa League is here? You managed to just kind of put that to one side and try and tackle the Europa League head on, try and perhaps believe that you could make a bit of a dent in the competition, or have you still just got that nagging feeling that you don't want to be here and you'd rather be in a different competition? Let us know. 0141 951 1025. We'll get to the specifics of the game as well. Anthony Ralston back training. Would you expect his experience to come back in, or has Colby Donovan done enough to keep that right back spot? Maybe an attack, Ian Atchell, he done enough to start the game yet, or is it very much back to seeing Daisy and Maeda lead the line? I know for a fact you'll all want Sebastian Tenekte to try and continue his domestic form and take it into European competition. So give us all your thoughts there then, Celtic fans, ahead of that one, and we will bring Gabriel in very soon to give us the live update from Belgrade. Similarly to you Rangers fans then, how do you feel in the week that you kick off Europe? Because yours is maybe a bit different. You've been so used to domestic disappointments and relative levels of success in Europe. We've gone over the course a million times. Is it tactics? Is it mentality? Why is the team better suited to playing in Europe than it is playing domestically? Now, it's not going well domestically. You don't need me to tell you that. So how are you feeling about Europe this year under Russell Martin? Get your calls in, please. And I would really, really love to hear from the fans of teams involved tonight, particularly you Aberdeen fans. What stage is this at? Could Jimmy Tilleen survive a defeat tonight? Is me even asking the question, is that too premature? Are we not at that stage yet? I would accept it if you want to come and put me in my place. But how are you feeling heading to Tannadice? Because on the face of it, that's not going to be an easy fixture either. and Hibs, who have promised so much at the start of this season but maybe not quite living up results wise to what people expected, they're off to Falkirk as well. So fans of either of those clubs, you know where we are. 0141 951 1025. I like the look of this midweek a lot, Gordon Dale.
Yeah, I don't think if you're involved with Aberdeen, you're liking the look of it. You're going to Dundee United tonight and they'll be full of confidence, Gordon. They're a decent team. Jim's got them well organised. They're playing some good football. He's got two away games. I think now we're talking about another manager who's certainly under pressure to save his job. He's got Dundee United tonight and he's back at Motherwell the weekend. If he did lose both of them, I'm sorry, all the goodwill he had for the Scottish Cup I don't think would wear with the Aberdeen fans. They're already restless up there with the results, sitting bottom of the league, they're not scoring goals. He's been well backed in the transfer market, he can't argue with that. So that's massive for him. And then obviously Hibs going away to Falkirk, they're sitting up there third. League campaign okay, Gordon. They'll be disappointed with Saturday getting knocked out of the cup. They want to bounce back. But you know what like Falkirk is under John McLennan. They're a good footballing side and it'll be a difficult game tonight. And then the league leaders in the championship up against Danny Lennon's Airdrie. We just wonder how that'll go.
Of course, it is only Tuesday. If there's anything you want to get off your chest from the weekend, you're more than welcome. It wouldn't be the first time we've done that, where Tuesday night you've still got something bugging you from the weekend or something you want to pick up on. So it's the same number, 01419511025. What did you make of the weekend, Ross? Anything jump out for you?
Do you know what, Gordon? I've got to admit, I was really disappointed with Hibs. I thought they would have gave a better account of themselves at Ibrox. I think they were given the blueprint of how to play against Rangers by Hearts, and it seemed to me that they just sort of done the complete opposite. Now, I get the argument. People say, you know, they could have went 1-0 up and the game would have been different. Yes, it would have, but I just felt, you know, Rangers were there for the taking for Hibs, to be honest. You know, you've seen it, but I know the goal got chopped off, but that atmosphere was just, you know, it was just about to turn. If that could have stood, then it could have been a different game. But yeah, I think on Russell Martin's part, you go back to obviously the going to Loch Lomond and stuff. I think, you know, he can't do anything right for doing things wrong, but it just shows you what. And I've said it a couple of times, people might not look at it this way, but I think when you've got a full week's training with a squad, when you haven't had that much over a season, I think it makes a big difference. And I've got to admit, I thought Rangers were miles better than they have been.
Up the cobbler today, do you think?
Yeah, well, listen, I would stick to the same pattern. I would
just go higher and higher every week.
Yeah, and deeper and deeper. I've got to say, I enjoyed the football at the weekend. Got off to a great start, as I say, the Kilmarnock St Mirren game, right to penalties. You must have really enjoyed that, Ross.
I did, yeah. What stadium was it played at?
Yeah, and then obviously the excitement of the cup is the cup draw, isn't it? You minute you're in that hat, and if you're Motherwell and involved with St Mirren, you're absolutely delighted. As much as St Mirren and Motherwell fans would say just now, look, Celtic Rangers aren't brilliant, right? They're getting criticised, they're boycotts, they're unrest at the club. But if you're getting drawn in a semi-final, you want to avoid day two. So brilliant for Motherwell and St Mirren for me.
And go on then, did you have sympathy for your old colleague Mark Wilson on Sunday? I want to know how you received the defeat.
Honestly, I was sitting there going, go on, geez, another one. Just get to five or six. Sure, get to five or six.
Do you feel like four's not humiliating?
No, listen, well done to me. Done brilliantly. He phoned me on Monday. I had a chat
just
with
just asking
him,
where he went wrong.
Playing golf with
like
him tomorrow, so I'm going to put him in his place. But look, the great thing for that cup game for Partick, and Mark came out and highlighted it, the amount of money it raised saved jobs, Gordon. That's the most important thing in football.
Quite right. And nice moment of sincerity from Gordon DL. I'm sure it won't last long. Let's dive in on the phone lines with another Ross. How are you, Ross?
Hi, Ross. Gordon, Ross. Hope you're well.
Not bad. And here, well, how are you? What are you thinking this week?
I'm all right. Firstly, I'd like to say, Ross, it was a pleasure to meet you. I actually met Ross last Wednesday when we were out watching the football during the week. No. Ross members.
In the clubhouse?
That's the one, Ross. I had a quick chat. So,
hold on a second. Are you not from Pollock as well?
Yeah.
So we've got like Ross and Pollock in the line, Ross and Pollock in the studio, and you've met each other. I'm a bit
best mates.
Next door.
Confused by this, with the same name. I think you've actually, he's squirming in his chair, Ross, which makes me think he'd rather not discuss when you met him last week. So crack on to your point before he
no, listen, I generally think that this is a right good opportunity for Celtic now. I know we've had the negativity about not wanting to be in the Europa League and we should be a Champions League squad, but for me, Celtic have got more than enough quality to go far in this, in this tournament. Look at Rangers a few years ago. So right now, I think this is a great chance for Celtic to go far in Europe. And I'm not saying we can win the Europa League, but I think we can definitely go far.
Do you feel like you're ready to embrace it, Ross? That's what I was kind of trying to get a sense of without being too deep at the start. You know, everything has been about the Champions League failure. It's led to everything that we've discussed for the last, I don't know, 3 weeks or whatever. But you ready now to sort of not park it completely, but try and tackle this Europa League head on?
I think we need Gordon. I think now there's nothing we can do about it. We're in the Europa League, so we may as well just go into it face first. And you know what, as I say, there's some right good teams in there that we're playing, so it's not going to be a walk in the park. But for me, I think the Celtic fans just need to get together now and we just need to focus, and as I say, hopefully we can push on and we can try and do well in Europe.
In a footballing sense, Gordon, that is almost certainly the way Brendan Rodgers will have to to look at it. How much longer can you keep harping on about Champions League disappointment when you've got all these games in front of you? And as Ross says, quite an interesting fixture list where definitely should be doable if Celtic are performing well, but also they're glamorous enough, if you know what I mean. It's not like you feel totally left out.
There's a lot of excitement there, Gordon, of course there. Look, disappointing for Celtic. They had a great chance to get into the Champions League and we all know what happened, so you've just got to put that behind you. Look, I know Celtic fans, Europa League, this is not where we want to be. I'm not saying this, but listen, I'm not saying this, but if Celtic got to the final of this tournament, there would be thousands upon thousands upon thousands going the same as what Rangers would be. So I think deeper into the competition you get, the more excited people get. But there's a lot of good games, a lot of difficult games, and we're hoping that both Celtic and Rangers get their campaign off to a real good start Wednesday and Thursday night.
There's no doubt in my mind Celtic fans will embrace the Europa League. You just got to look further down south. You know, it's good enough for teams like Man U and Spurs, and they're absolute global monsters. So the Celtic fans will definitely get behind the team. I totally agree with Ross. I don't see any reason why they can't go through, why they can't put a dent in the competition. And I also agree that it's probably a step too far, probably going to the final. But the deeper you go in the competition, you never know. There'll be a lot of teams that will be fearing going to Celtic Park in that competition.
Have your optimism levels risen a bit in recent weeks then, Ross, on the line? Because I feel like if we'd asked this question the night after Qaira Almaty, people would have said, well, if we can't get past them, we've got, you know, we might even struggle in the Europa League. But you feel like things are settling down a bit? Is Ross still there?
I'm still there. Oh, yeah, gone. You got me, yeah.
Yeah, just saying, you think things have settled down a bit? Because like a few weeks ago, you probably would have even feared for some of these games, looking at the qualification performances, but feel Celtic getting back on track?
Yeah, no, listen, the last couple of weeks is obviously, we've had good results, and I think the Qaira Almaty game has obviously overshadowed things the last couple of weeks, and all the negativity with the board. But as I say, I think the confidence levels in Europe last season, obviously we had a good run in Europe in terms of the Champions League. So I think, as I say right now, into the Europa League, I'm feeling confident. I think there is teams in there that Celtic can get by, and I think if we have a right good campaign, I think a lot of the positivity will start coming through. And I'm not telling the Celtic fans to forget everything that's happened this summer, not at all, but I think right now we just need to get into this campaign on a positive note, and there's no point getting there with a negative attitude, because if we be negative, then it's just going to shine through the players. So there's an opportunity for us to go far in Europe. Now, as I said, I would love to see Celtic win a European trophy. I don't know if we can win the Europa League. I'm not saying that, but I think that this is probably our best opportunity to win a European trophy if we are going to win one.
Because, Gordon, we've covered a lot about the perceived regression in European circles. Celtic fans, that's their complaint, is that how have we gone from running Bayern Munich so close to 6 months later not making the Champions League? Ross there on the line's given us that the positive way of looking at the Europa League, the negative way, the sort of outcome Celtic don't need, is to go from Bayern Munich to not even being able to make a dent in the Europa League. That's something Brendan Rodgers would, you know, that would set everything back.
Yeah, that's what puts a bit of excitement on it, because they've got to go and test themselves. It's okay saying you want to be a Champions League team, you want to go up against the big boys, but if you're not there, and I think that you asked the question, well, how did they go from that Bayern Munich Champions League to Europa League? I think everybody will look at the transfer window and probably say that was the reason why. I just think that, I agree with Ross, I think that the further you go, you've got big games, you've got big teams coming to Celtic Park as well. And you start getting results. It doesn't matter what tournament you're in, you want to win it. You eventually start getting to see, you're saying, right, okay, we're into now the next stage of this tournament. We're now into the semi-final, whatever we may be. And I'm talking about both clubs here. Now, honestly, I don't fancy Celtic to get there. I don't fancy Rangers because of the way things are just now. But I just think that's an opportunity for the fans to go out there and embrace it, because that's where they are. There's no point thinking about the Champions League. That's gone. You've got to look at the next tournament. So, and Celtic have domestically got off a good start. They're in the semi-final. They've got Rangers, which hopefully they'll be a brilliant game. And you're looking at Rangers now. Have they turned the corner? No, I don't think they have, but Hibs was so important at the weekend. They've got a big game on Thursday as well. So there's a lot of football and a lot of excitement to look forward to for me.
It's obviously a bigger section now, Ross, when you look at the eight games rather than the six. How important is it for Celtic to get off to a good start? You know, we sometimes break it up into a very loose notion that if you can kind of get draws in your away games, win your home games, that's not kind of a bad way of looking at it. Celtic, even in whatever situation they find themselves in, they'll believe they can get something away at Red Star Belgrade, will they not?
Absolutely, yes, and I don't see why not. I've sat here many a times when Scottish teams have been playing in Europe, and sometimes people look at me like I'm silly. Like, I don't see any reason why they can't go to some of these countries and win. I think the squad, the money that gets spent in the country, that they've got every reason to go there and believe that they can win. But a good start is essential. I think the Europa League, Champions League, and things like that are set up in a way where It gives teams an even better chance of qualifying. I don't think it's possibly as strong as last season, the Europa League, if I'm right in saying so. I think Celtic will go. Listen, I think they'll have belief.
Thank you, Ross. What about Kenny, who's also a Celtic fan? As you begin your European journey this week, Kenny, what are you thinking?
Hi, guys. Evening, everyone. How are we?
Good. How are you?
Yeah, fine, sir. Before I start, can I just say, all the best for safe travels for the Celtic fans going over there. All the safe travels, and please come home safe.
Don't mind it. Don't mind the sentiment. What are you thinking in terms of the football, Kenny?
I want to agree with everyone's point. I do think we've got a chance of winning tomorrow. But that's not the reason I'm phoning. From last night. I was actually at work last night, so I couldn't phone in. Mm-hmm. I just want to go on the guy that came on and started bawling about the protest. The point I want to make, if Celtic were to win the treble this year and do progress in the Europa League, would the Celtic fans then go, oh, maybe we've made a mistake on patron at the board? I can understand the protest, but will there be a point if Celtic were to win the treble and go far in Europe, would the protest stop? I just want to see what you guys think.
Well, what do you think, Gordon? I think the two things that jump out for me is, it's a big if.
Yeah,
that's quite a season. Mm-hmm. You know, I know it's become like normal to win trebles for Celtic, but it's quite a big if. And then also, you don't find out till May. Mm-hmm. So actually, the notion of, does it stop the protest? I mean, that's still another eight months of protests or whatever.
Plus, the other big question marks you've got to look at is the manager going to be there next year? What happens when Celtic get to January, when that transfer window opens again? Is he going to be back? Because if he's not going to be there in the summer, why are they going to throw money at him? Look, I think the anger from the Celtic supporters, and rightly so, was, it was the way they went about their business, Gordon. It was too late in the transfer market. They lost probably all their first sort of priorities to bring into Celtic Park, and there was a sort of a communication let down between Brendan Rodgers and the board and recruitment. It didn't seem to all work hand in hand. Celtic board can argue about the business, and rightly so, the figures that come out, they make a lot of money. Brendan Rodgers, he's only interested in the football side, quite rightly so. He's a manager and he lives and dies by results and performances. No, I don't know. I agree with you. I think if Celtic achieved a treble this year and went far in the Europa League, I think it is a big, big if for me. But I've got more sort of a interesting views looking forward. Brendan Rodgers won and the transfer window in January, how it's going to get sorted.
See, with the transfer window though, Gordon, I'm looking at their squad. They are imbalanced in the sense that you'll have Jota coming back probably just after Christmas, who's a left winger. Tonecki's a left winger. If Iheanacho gets fit and he shows, you know, three quarters of the ability that he's got, I believe that he will be the number one, number nine towards the end of the season. That also means that Maeda goes to the left. I think you look at the transfer window.
Balakwisha's left sided as well. According to Brendan Rodgers, that's his best side.
Yeah, but he ends up at left back, doesn't he?
That's what I'm saying. Look how many of them there are.
Loads of them. So I look at the transfer window and think, you know, all Celtic, Alistair Johnson will come back. Kieran Tierney will be even fitter. You're looking at that right wing position. That is the only one that would stand out to me. If they're doing well in Europe, is what they need in January.
I've got shivers down my spine here. We're just over the summer transfer window. I'm not talking about the January
what
transfer
you get
window.
Christmas?
For goodness sake. Anyway, thank you very much to Kenny. What are you thinking, Celtic fans? Give us your thoughts. You're up first this week. We're going to speak to Gabriel quite soon. Similar theme though, Rangers fans. What does kind of Europe mean to you this season? How are you feeling about it with everything that's going on with Russell Martin and this age-old discussion we've had about you being better suited to Europe and all that stuff? How are you feeling this year? Speaking of the continent, Lennon Miller just scored on his first start for Udinese. Started tonight for the first time in the Coppa Italia.
Yeah, he's not had a lot of game time, so that's brilliant for him.
Scored a header.
A header? Not known for his heading ability.
A rebound, if you like.
You've got to remember, though, he's not had a pre-season either, has he? He's not been involved.
I think the team's only played three times since they got there. It's not like
he's missed a lot of games.
And they went away and won away at Inter, so they were never going to go and change the team, you know, the following week. But anyway, scored a header on his first start. So there we go. Get your calls in. We'll speak to you next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Ross McCormick and Gordon DL are here. 0141 951 1025 is the number that you need. So get in touch. Send us your tweets as well at Clyde SSB. Kind of gently looking ahead for Rangers and very much looking ahead for Celtic, because that's tomorrow. Gabriel is over there in Belgrade. We're going to hear from Brendan Rodgers, get the inside track from what's going on over there. So we're taking our first look of the season at European group stages. So get in touch, of course. Two big games in the Premiership tonight as well, so lots to look forward to there. Very keen to hear in particular from you Aberdeen fans to try and get a sense of what stage you think you're at with the pressure being on. And of course, welcome to join in if you're a Falkirk, Hibs, Dundee United fan as well. Loads to get through there as we take our way through a busy, busy midweek in the Scottish Premiership and in European competition as well. We've got a few other little bits and pieces happening. Just I mentioned Lennon Miller there scoring on his first start for Udinese. I don't know what the deal is with all these Scots. What did you make of Scott McTominay? 18th in the Ballon d'Or. We're hoping for more.
I think you take that, especially with the company you're in amongst.
People that were below him.
Well, Van Dijk, where was he?
Van Dijk,
it's incredible.
I thought he would have been higher. MVP in the Italian league.
I kind of know what you meant. That was my initial thought. But then when as Gordon says, when you see the list of people below him,
if you take
him,
it on pure ability, you can go, right, okay, 18th. But in terms of what he done for that team and winning the league, I thought,
we'll take it. Listen, beggars can't be choosers, as they say. So yeah, well done for that. In fact, Billy Gilmore, he scored his first ever club goal last night. You see that?
Is that right? First ever club goal.
He's got two for Scotland, but hadn't scored at senior.
Oh, what a feeling that must be.
Yeah, domestic level. So there we go. Right, 0141 951 1025. Getting carried away there with all the Scots European action. Billy's a Rangers fan. What are you thinking now, Billy? We're kind of, you've done it in the cup at the weekend. Still need to wait and find out about the league. Now it's Europe this week.
Hi, Gordon. Thanks for putting me on. I appreciate it.
What are you thinking?
I'm no any different from what I was before Saturday. The Russell Martin is just no the man for the job, and I think come Thursday, it's not going to be any different from what we've had before. Hibs turned up on Saturday, and I was surprised. I really was surprised that Hibs didn't win on Saturday. Because it's just no... I just can't see what's happening. And for Andrew Kavanagh to be there on Saturday and watch that, listen to the protests, I don't know if he knows all the information behind it. I don't even know if he's still in Glasgow just now. I don't know if he's flown back to America or whatever. But for Russell Martin to still be in the job, I mean, what do we need today? Honestly, Russell Martin is no the guy today, the job. They done well on Saturday. You know, they scored two goals. But in the first half, Hibs were playing okay. You know, they caused us problems. Our defence is still very weak.
The thing is, and, Gordon, Billy, you know, when Billy says there, you know what has to happen, unfortunately for Billy, because you don't want your team to lose, Rangers are going to have to go and lose a series of games for Russell Martin to lose his job. It actually does become that simple, because if he's backed before the weekend and he's won the game, it's not like Russell Martin's going to go win the next five games then get sacked.
Yeah.
You know, the whether Billy likes it or not, easy for me to say, this current situation needs to get worse. Now, some people might believe that it's bad enough already, but the owners don't. And the chairman doesn't. So it's going to need to get worse. No. Otherwise, he will stay as the manager.
The peers inside the corridor obviously back him, Gordon. I thought if he'd have lost that cup tie at the weekend, I think Billy and a lot of Rangers fans would have probably got their wish. I think he would have been removed from his job. But he won the game. He's now got a massive semi-final against Celtic. He's got a big European game coming up on Thursday. And then he goes to, will we call it a tricky game at the weekend at Livingston, where nobody likes going to. Look, if he keeps winning games, then he'll remain the Rangers manager. I feel a little bit for him. I'm not a great fan, let me tell you now. I thought he'd have been removed. But I feel a little bit, because he's a manager for me just now that's basically game to game. The Rangers fans are just waiting for the next slip up and they're going to be right on him again. Now, everybody talks about protests. I'm not against any fan protesting. You pay hard-earned cash. If you do it the right way, it's up to you. You go and support your team. You're entitled to your voice. I just felt a bit sorry for him in the scale, because at the end of the day, Gordon, whether you like him or not, he's a human being there. He's got his family there. I've been in those shoes on a slightly lower level, and it's not the nicest feel in the world, I've got to say. But right now, Russell Martin is hanging on to his job. He's got the backing from inside, which obviously is a massive benefit for him. But if he had to go and have a few sort of a dodgy results, few bad results over the coming days, I mean Thursday and Sunday, then he's back on that get him out situation.
Yeah, but that's the thing, Ross. If it doesn't go badly, it's all right saying some Rangers fans will probably still phone in at this stage, maybe like Billy, and say, you know, he's not the man, he'll never be the man, I sort of won't change my mind. That all sounds great. If he wins the next five games, we just won't get calls in 5 weeks' time saying, I don't care, he still has to go, because it's just not the way football works.
See, to be fair, I kind of disagree with that, Gordon. I feel as if it's went too far, whereby if they go and win the next five games, the next thing is going to be, oh, but they're not battering teams. You know, they go into this supposition.
But I mean, the sting will have to come out of it a bit. It just has to, because if he's not sacked now, which he isn't clearly, and the owners don't believe that it's time for that, the only way he'll get sacked is if they were to go on a long losing run.
And I genuinely don't think they will do that. I don't even think they'll lose probably three in a row. I looked at that team that they put out at the weekend and genuinely thought, right, this is the first time I've looked at Rangers this season and I've got their best team on the pitch. Their best team was on the pitch. I reckon you could probably, like I said, you could look at maybe switching a Mikey Moore with a Finlay Curtis, who I think's probably done more than him and deserves to start. Other than that, that was their best team. And I genuinely thought that, right, okay, this is what he's been wanting. Now go and beat Hibs. They've went and beat Hibs. And listen, it was pretty easy in the end, if we're being honest. I expect them to continue on an upward trajectory. I'm not saying they're going to go and catch Celtic, but they're definitely going to get better.
But the big thing for them is, right, if they get by Celtic in the semi-final, which is going to be difficult, right? If you look at St Mirren and Motherwell, and I'm not being disrespectful, with the money that Rangers have spent and the players have brought in, they would get into the final favourites. I think we'd agree on that. All of a sudden, this guy could win first bit of silverware. You wonder what the Rangers fans would think then. Now, That's all hearsay, right? There's still a lot of games, and I'm not just going in the Hibs game thinking, oh, right, they've turned the corner here, because I thought we were asking to come back in there, and obviously a point to prove. I thought Rangers looked a lot better, better organised going forward, everything about them. So there was good signs there. But he's still a guy for me that's going basically game to game to game with the Rangers supporters.
Would you take a point on Thursday? If he's going game to game?
Yeah, I would take a point.
All day,
At home to Genk, what do you think about Europe then, Billy? What does Europe mean to you this season? What does it mean to Russell Martin?
I think on Thursday, depending on the squad, I really, Europe's not for us. You know what I mean? I mean, we're struggling in the league just now. We're sitting second bottom. I know it's only 2 points between us and third, whatever. But I just can't see where we are going to turn then. I really can't. And Livingston, when we go to Livingston on Sunday, wow. I just can't see us. If we get a draw, I would be impressed.
But that's the beauty when a manager is under pressure. You can't disregard Europe, because it would just be used as a stick to beat him with. But in fact, he's partly in this situation, not because so much of the Champions League exit, but the scale of it, the humiliation.
I think, you know, Europa League would help him. I really do. Have a look at Rangers in the past. Getting to the final stages of this competition, the fans absolutely loved it, Gordon.
How do you think it does work this year then? Because if you were to draw up the kind of number list of the top conversations we've had in recent seasons, Rangers in Europe versus Rangers domestically would be one of them. You know, we talk about whether it is tactical, whether it's psychological, they seem to be much better suited to Europe. How many times have we done that on the Thursday night? It felt like we'd reached a bit of a tipping point where Russell Martin's appointment was meant to be first and foremost about being competitive domestically. And I'm not saying fans would forget Europe altogether, but it felt like most would probably have taken a drop off in European results if it meant domestic success. The problem is, it started so poorly domestically now.
I don't think anybody at this stage, even 5 games in, and I know what Billy's saying about the points difference between Rangers and third. Forget Rangers and third. If Rangers fans aren't interested in third, you look at Hearts, look at the difference in points between Hearts and Celtic already, and you're already chasing. So you wouldn't imagine that Rangers would, at this point, be sitting in 11th place. Yes, they've had a good result at the weekend. I do believe, I'm with Roscoe a little bit, I do think there's potential there for them to get better. I think getting Raskin back into the middle of parts helped them as well. And it'll be interesting to see if they can kick on. I'm expecting them, no disrespect to David Martindale and my big friend Marv, I'm expecting them to go to Livingston and win that game. I know they'll have a difficult game on Thursday night, but they've still got a big squad there. They've brought in players, they've spent a lot of money in transfers for them, they've spent a lot of money in wages, so they should have enough to go to Livingston. Yes, Livingston are always hard to beat in their own patch, but should have enough to go and win that.
Okay, thank you very much to Billy. Rangers fans, same question to you. What are you thinking generally about Europe this season? It's a very broad, open question, but what does Europe mean to you this season, given everything you've done in Europe in the past and given where you find yourselves now under Russell Martin? Now, when we return, we're going to cross live to Belgrade. We're going to check in with Gabriel, who is currently at the Celtic press conference. So everything you need to know ahead of that game, we will do it next, which means it's the perfect time for you Celtic fans again to get in touch and join in with your thoughts. But before we do any of that, let me run this past you. Clyde One. Make Me a Winner is back. It is the biggest competition on the radio, and on Friday you could win £555,000, the best ever payday, tax free. What is not to like? So for your chance to win £555,000, you can actually get 100 entries into the draw by texting BANK to 61025. Now those texts are £10 plus your standard network rate. For 5 entries, text YES to 61025. Those texts are £250 plus your standard network rate. Or you can call 03434 269 340. Calls are charged at a standard rate, and it is over 18s only. The online entry and all the rules for this rail network competition are at makemeawinner.co.uk. The lines close 5pm Friday. Good luck. Text YES to 61025.
01419511025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Ross McCormick and Gordon DL are here. Give them a call, let them know what's on your mind. Ask them anything, almost anything. Rangers in Europe, Celtic in Europe, the Premiership tonight, the weekend, how both of them seem to be losing weight so rapidly. Maybe do that a bit later on in the show if we're struggling for calls. I watched Donald Trump doing his like health update earlier on, and it just reminded me of you two.
We're healthy.
Okay, that's fine.
Then where else go?
Anyway, before we get ourselves in bother with the NHS and anyone else, let's cross live to Belgrade and speak to Gabs.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard European Group Stages with the clubhouse Prince's Square, taproom and home of live sport in Glasgow.
Gabriel, you've just come out of Brendan Rodgers' press conference. You're in the stadium. Those who are watching the live stream can see it as well as hear it. Looks like a nice arena to play a football match. What's happening over there?
Yeah, Gordon and Ross and Gordon DL, good evening from the Rajko Mitic Stadium here in Serbia, better known as the Maracana. And as you're saying, just spoken to manager Brendan Rodgers and Benjamin Negrin, of course, on the eve, the start of this Europa League campaign. It's Red Star Belgrade, or Zvezda Zvezda, as they're better known here, who are tomorrow's opponents. And as we all know, after 3 years in the Champions League, they've dropped down to Europe's second competition. It's not what any of the players want, the club want, any of the fans want. It's led to much fan anger, fan protests. But Brendan Rodgers says they've put all of that behind them. The Champions League is gone and it is full focus now on the Europa League. He was very positive about his side's ambitions for the campaign ahead. He said they want to go deep in this competition. He wasn't going to make any predictions, but 2003 and the run to Seville was spoken about, Gordon, as well, as proof that this competition, this tournament, can provide progress. A little bit of injury news as well. Tony Ralston was training this morning, so it'll be interesting to see if he'll be in that right back position, or will it be the teenager Colby Donovan that holds his place in the team. I've got to say, it's a fantastic arena behind us. 51,000 seats. We're expecting around 1,000 Celtic fans. I spoke to a few today as well, in the Republic Square in the city centre. 30 degrees here. I know the weather's turning back home, but 30 degrees, and the Celtic fans will be basking in the sunshine ahead of tomorrow's game, which is at 8 o'clock UK time.
We'll hopefully hear some of the content you got from Brendan Rodgers. You've literally jumped out of the press room to join us live, which we appreciate. Was that the general theme then, would you say? Just this notion that, of course, the Champions League disappointment has been the dominating story, but now it becomes about really focusing on this Europa League campaign.
Yeah, Gordon, that was exactly it. It's all about putting that behind them. Brendan Rodgers wants to draw a line in the sand now and say, let's go for the Europa League. Let's go as far as we can. He pointed to last year, them being on the cusp of beating Bayern Munich at the Allianz Arena. They got to the knockout stages of that new format in the Champions League. Why can't they do the same or go even further in the Europa League? You know, that it's a new squad, and it's going to be interesting to see how the new players settle in. As I said, I was speaking to Benjamin Negrin as well. He said that these are the nights that you want to come and play for Celtic for. Red Star were a team that were in the Champions League last season. They were, like Celtic, a bit dominant in their domestic competition for many years. They're currently top of the Serbian League. As I said, they were in the competition last season, and then they lost, surprisingly, to Paphos in the playoffs. So not necessarily an established Champions League giant, but a team much like Celtic, a former winner of the European Cup as well in 1991, who feel like they should be in the Champions League. So it's going to be a really interesting game and a cracking atmosphere, no doubt.
Quick one for you two. There's not loads of massive team debate, but we heard Gabriel talking about Anthony Ralston being back. Does Colby Donovan stay in?
Donovan, I heard Brendan Rodgers speaking about him, and he speaks very highly, young lad. But Ralston, you've got to say, will probably be favourite. He's a Scottish international, so I know he's got a lot of doubters at Celtic Park, but he's played a lot of games. He's played in big games for Celtic. For me, he doesn't let them down. So if Ralston's 100%, I would probably see Ralston taking would that you? Right back shirt, yeah.
See, for me, Donovan stays in the team, but I think Brendan Rodgers will go the other way for the experience. I think, had it been at Parkhead, it might be a different story, but I think the experience will shine through there.
Gabriel, before we let you go, as we found out at the Euros last summer, you're also like the travel correspondent, sort of, for Clyde One Super Scoreboard. What's it like? What are the Celtic fans experiencing over there? Gordon Dale wants to know how much it is for a pint, you know, all that sort of important stuff.
It's always the most important question, Gordon, whenever you go away somewhere. It's actually my first time in Serbia, but I was in Montenegro in the summer and they speak a very similar language. So I've got a few words. It's about £2, £2.50 a pint. As I said, 30 degrees. That is the key aspect here. It's like you're in Mallorca or somewhere. It is a stunning, stunning place. I was up in the Old Town Fortress this morning on a morning jog, speaking to a few Celtic fans out and about as well. So, listen, it's going to be another cracking day tomorrow, and Celtic fans, I hope it's a cracking evening on the pitch as well.
You're telling us where he was on his holidays in the summer.
I know. The sun's doing wonders for those eyebrows.
Good insight. Good insight from Gabs there. We'll join him tomorrow night on the show as well and see what's happening as we build up to kickoff. So we'll thank him for his time. Cammy is on from East Kilbride. How are you, Cammy?
Hello, evening, gents. How are you doing? You all right?
All good here. What are you thinking? What made you call?
Good. Just a quick one. I've not tuned in tonight. Just tuned in the last 10 or so minutes. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure what you're speaking about. But it's just about tomorrow's team news and the lineups for tomorrow, and more specifically, Maeda. So, for Maeda, in his tenure at Celtic so far under Ange and under Rodgers, he's always been a left winger rather than a right winger, if we ignore the striker position for now. So I'm wondering what the panel thinks about this, and why on earth Ange and Rodgers have insisted on playing a right footed player on the left wing, who isn't like a player like Jota or Tonekti, who would like to cut inside and do tricks and take men on. Maeda wants to get to the byline. That's his sole objective. He wants to get to the byline, get a cross in, and he's crossing it with his left foot. His best traits are to press, get to the byline, put across him with his left foot, also playing over the top as well with balls over the top. So I'm thinking, now that we've got a winger in Tonekti who is a natural left winger, I'm not sure there'd be any reason for Maeda not to be on the right wing now, and for him to be going to the byline with his right foot and putting in a cross, a more accurate cross, you'd imagine, with his right foot.
I recognise you're working, Cammy. I know what you're saying, but he's just not a right winger, is he? He doesn't play there, as you say. If neither Ange Postecoglou nor Brendan Rodgers have done it, there's probably a good reason for that. And I think that, I don't know exactly what that reason is, by the way, but Brendan Rodgers was asked again, I'm sure he was asked at the weekend, if Maeda off the right was an option, and he said no. So it's just not his position, is it?
Well, Rodgers has been wrong before, and he'll be wrong again, that's for sure.
But Ange didn't really do it either then.
Yeah, which I'm surprised about, because I love Big Ange, so I'm very surprised that he didn't see that. And he did play. He played Jota into the right wing to accommodate Maeda on the left, which I found utterly bizarre, to be honest. So I'm just wondering, logically, why that would make more sense. If you're suggesting there is a reason, can you come up with a reason in your head as to why that may be?
I like that point. I really do. It makes really good sense, but I think you're right, Gordon. If you've got two top managers that work with a guy day in, day out, and they don't play him off the right, and there'd be a great opportunity just now to mm-hmm. play him off the right, because they're a bit weak there in that side. Mm-hmm. So you would imagine that if Brendan Rodgers is looking at... Exactly. So they're not going down that road with them. But I think Cammy makes a good argument for why does he not play off the right-hand side. Because he rarely comes in on that right foot and bounces things off people and has a shot away. He loves that space in behind. He loves to get to the byline or just before it, try and get crosses in. They just feel that probably that's his best position. But I thought Cammy made some great points.
But even if it doesn't work, Laros, is it not that run that you're really looking for from Maeda to go from outside the right back into that space? And the point about crossing, it's not like we're not talking David Beckham. Even if he's on the right side, he's not going to open up 30 yards out, you know, and whip one into the back post.
Yeah, most of his crosses are cutbacks when he gets to the byline for someone coming onto it, maybe edge of the box, penalty spot. But I think the problem Maeda's got this year is, and Celtic have got as well, is that the way Maeda plays, he hugs the touchline. Now, that was fine when they had Greg Taylor at left back, who liked to come inside the pitch. But now they've got Kieran Tierney, who's predominantly a overlapping, bombing on fullback. There's no space for him to do that when Maeda's playing on the left. So for me, in this system, I think it's either a striker or nothing. I think Cammy's sort of hit the nail on the head there. If someone who has the ability and the the technique that Jota has and he can't play on the right, then for me, Maeda cannot play on the right wing.
Okay, it's a fair question though, Cammy. It's a fair question. We'll keep an eye on it, see if it happens throughout the season. Thank you for bringing it to us tonight. Let's play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
The form table is absolutely disgusting in here on a Tuesday night. Gordon Dalziel has one win in his last four. He's third bottom of the table. The only guy below him is sitting next to him as well.
What a night for a present.
Ross McCormick.
Stewart's inquiry from Sunday.
If you've ever wanted to get a victory on Beat the Pundit, I can't make a strong... The only thing that would make you have a better chance is if we get Simon Donnelly in here and gave you the choice of all three. So the lines do close at 7. I'm expecting the calls to be busy here. 0141 951 1025. Beat the Pundit is next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
This is a big night in the Scottish Premiership. Really looking forward to both the games tonight, particularly Aberdeen. When and where is that first win going to come? Will it be this evening at Tannadice? And a fascinating one between Falkirk and Hibs as well. So if any of those are your team, then please share your thoughts. Of course, we will continue the build-up to the big European games. We've already been to speak to our reporter Gabriel in Belgrade. We've done a good bit on Rangers in Europe this season, so keep them coming. We'll hear from Brendan Rodgers very soon as well. But let's play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Ross McCormick and Gordon Dalziel are hopeless at Beat the Pundit.
Cream
in recent weeks.
Just recent weeks.
Oh, that's,
you know what I mean? I got off to a brilliant start.
Only as good as your last four games, as the famous footballing phrase goes. Anyway, looking to take advantage of that is Richard in Kilbarkin. How are you, Richard?
I'm good, thanks. How's yourself?
Can't complain, thank you for asking. Is this your first time on Beat the Pundit?
It is, yes.
Good. Well, be honest, were you sort of drawn in by the lack of form from these two?
No, I probably won't be any better. So,
good, Richard.
Polite.
Come and join us.
He's no daft. He knows that if you throw some strong words out there and then you lose,
yeah, he's getting them.
You don't let them.
How many said?
I want to know how you feel, because Andy Halliday lost last night, first time in years. Now he starts on -1, which obviously contributed. But I wonder how you feel about the fact he was playing two people.
Don't like it.
You don't like that.
No,
do you?
Are you on your own, Richard?
I don't agree with that. I'm on my own. I've got the Doug with me, so he's not going to have one.
All right, okay.
The Doug would beat me.
Yeah.
You don't like it, do you, when you're teamed up against?
I hate that. It shouldn't be allowed. If that's the case, no, that would matter. I don't want Ross Godfrey. I'd probably want to go solo.
Okay, but let's toss the coin anyway. If it's the blue side of the Beat the Pundit coin, it is Ross McCormick. If it is the red side, I can exclusively reveal the nervous toilet break during the news has returned. It had gone away during the summer. It has returned. And if you think that it is an ominous sign, he dropped his phone down the toilet as well.
And let me tell you, you forgot you still had your mic on.
I told
her,
you
ears nearly blew off her head.
You actually did drop your phone as well, didn't you? And I thought it was a bit over the top when you asked Gordon Dalziel to wipe it for you. Yeah. Like, his phone! I'm talking about his phone, for goodness sake.
Why have you got your phone out in the toilet? Were you checking up some answers?
See, I've got a pocket in my hoodie and it fell out the side of my pocket.
Okay. He's looking at the league tables, that's his story, and he's sticking to it. Okay, let's toss the coin. And it is Gordon Dalziel, who plays the red side of
all the best, Richard.
Thank you.
Okay, let's
I don't mean that.
Gordon, something else to listen to. Please turn it up nice and loud if we can. Richard, 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can. Pass if you don't know the answer. That simple, okay?
Okay.
Right, 30 seconds going on the clock, and your time starts now. Who became the first Scotsman to score a Bundesliga hat trick at the weekend?
Oliver Buck.
Where did Scott McTominay finish in the Ballon d'Or list?
18th.
Who was the last team Rangers beat in the league?
Hearts.
Who was the St Mirren manager when they last won the League Cup?
Pass.
Name any Celtic first team player who's also played for Queen's Park.
Ben McPherson.
Don Cowie, Neil Alexander and Tony Watt are connected by which EFL club?
Pass.
Okay, let's bring him
Danny
back.
Danny Lennon.
Thanks for that.
Oh, come on! I'm swapping that question out.
No, yep, no.
I'm swapping it
out. Okay, you only said I'm finished.
If you don't, I would have got 5 out of 6 correct there.
It's a former teammate of yours, isn't it, as well?
Right, okay.
You heard his name there, didn't
no,
you?
No, I didn't.
What do you mean?
No, I didn't.
Richard said a name and you said thanks for that.
Ugh, it was a joke. Right, that's the question.
You're the worst liar in the world.
That's the question. I bet you get it wrong.
It's about the Beatles on it.
What's that?
No.
You ready?
Go.
30 seconds. Same set of questions.
Right.
Your time starts now. Who became the first Scotsman to score a Bundesliga hat-trick at the weekend?
Oh, Ferguson, no idea.
Where did Scott McTominay finish in the Ballon 18th. D'Or list? Who was the last team Rangers beat in the league?
St Mirren.
Who was the St Mirren captain when they last won the League Cup?
Jim Goodwin.
Name any Celtic first team player who's also played for Queen's Park.
Ralston.
Don Cowie, Neil Alexander, Tony Watt are connected by which EFL club?
EFL?
3, 2
Snow Watford.
Could
have threw me in there as well, could you?
Exactly. Richard, how do you think what it went?
Don't know. It's in one, but yeah.
Hold on, where's the Lennon one?
I changed it.
Ah, no, he can't get a question. And
hey, you got it right. You kept your composure well. You did very well. I was impressed with you.
What do you mean?
Well, we'll explain in a minute. Who became the first Scotsman? How have you not? I was actually going to. This was going to be one of our talking points for tonight. And I'm glad that we've not got round to it yet because you really give us some brilliant input when you don't know. Firstly, how could it be Lewis Ferguson, who famously does not play in the Bundesliga?
Oh, the Bundesliga. Oh, sorry.
And Oliver Burke scored a hat trick.
Oh, I get that mixed up.
Night.
Did you get it?
Get your calls in on whether Oliver Burke should be back in the Scotland squad. Gordon Dalziel will not take part in that conversation.
Did Richard get that?
He did.
Oh, no.
It was way to Frankfurt as well, wasn't it?
No, it was a brilliant hat trick.
Oh,
as
why
well.
Did that thing tell you that?
It's a great question. One I've been asking myself for the last 2 minutes. Where did Scott McTominay finish? Gordon Dalziel, well done, it was 18th, but Richard got it as well. He stays 2-1 in front. The last team Rangers beat in the league, I must admit, I would have no idea of this. And Richard is a Rangers fan, didn't get it. You're one of the sharpest pundits in the land, you didn't get it.
Come on,
Dundee United.
Nah,
me neither. It was
14th, how bad is that?
14th of May.
Is that right?
Yeah, well, it was obviously last season.
Right. Come on.
So you still trail
Danny
by
Lennon,
one.
Airdrie, manager.
Who was the last St Mirren manager when they won the League Cup?
Danny.
You said captain.
I asked Richard, the manager. He got it right, Danny Lennon. I changed it to captain for you, and you got it right anyway. So what's the drama?
No.
What do you mean?
Not having
what do you
that?
Mean, no?
No, you can't have different questions. It never happens in.
Right, fine, okay.
It never happens in the chase.
Fine. Who was the last St Mirren manager to win the League Cup?
Danny Lennon.
Great, you're on the same score as you were before, so I'm glad that really changes everything.
Yeah, but that threw me.
Richard didn't get it. He didn't get Danny Lennon.
He did, he said
no,
Lennon.
He didn't. He was shouting it out afterwards because...
Okay, that was a good question. I'm glad you rephrased
exactly.
the question.
So is that the equaliser for you?
Hold on.
Stop your moaning.
Who's Don Cowie?
Your level. Hold on. Name any Celtic first team player who's also played for Queen's Park. You had the choice of Adam Montgomery, Dane Murray, Anthony Ralston, Gordon Dalziel got it. Who did you say, Richard?
Ben McPherson. He's
on loan at Partick Thistle at the moment.
But he played for Queen's Park last season.
Oh, Stuart, he's not a Celtic first team player. He's on loan at
Hey, Richard.
I'd give you that.
Listen to the question. Celtic first team player.
He played for Celtic first team in pre-season.
No, he didn't.
Well, he did, but he's not there anymore. Oh, this is a horrible.
Oh, I see you, Richard.
I know Ben McPherson well. You've got to give me that one.
No, you can't. I know Danny Lennon well, but I went for Jim Goodwin.
He's also never made a competitive appearance for Celtic.
Ah, Richard.
For the first team for Celtic.
And on a friendly, right. though. Come on.
Come on, Richard.
Well, here's a deal, right? The last one was Cardiff. That's why you could have added.
Cardiff. I knew it was somewhere near Watford.
What we always. What? What we always tend to do, just to keep everybody happy, right?
No.
Let's go to the tiebreaker.
No.
Listen, your record will stay, okay? You win. But it's the chance for Richard to win the sign ball or the coin. I think that's fair.
I'm being ruthless here. I'm bombing Richard. Richard can go. Richard, see you later. Wow. You're beat me.
Let's go to the
Okay, let's go tiebreaker, Richard. Come on.
Tiebreaker is this. How many different nationalities have won the Ballon d'Or? Write it down, please, Gordon Dale, first. How many different nationalities have won the Ballon d'Or? Richard, what are you going for?
Oh, my.
Hurry up!
16.
16. Gordon Dale says 21. The answer. It's 20.
Yes!
Oh, yes! Oh, no. Richard, I tried.
Richard, unlucky son.
I tried, Richard.
Oh, I can't believe it. I was one out. Do you know what I was going to say? 20, I calculated them wrong.
The worst of it is Richard knew Danny Lennon. He just couldn't quite
remember. Richard, I all knew Danny Lennon.
Who's your team, Richard?
Ben McPherson. Come on.
Nah, well, listen.
We gave you.
I did all I could to get you the symbol. Who's your team?
Rangers.
Same question to you then, whilst we've got you. What do you make of Europe this season? What does Europe mean to a Rangers fan right now?
It's a plus at the moment. I mean, the leagues have been better, but Rangers on Thursdays is just different, you know?
Is there a difficulty for Russell Martin, Richard, that it has to really come into account for him? Because, like, you know, fans are just desperate to whack him with anything. You know, let's say Rangers had won all their league games. You would maybe say, oh, have I not? You know, Europe can take a bit more of a backseat because we wanted to focus domestically this season.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, I was all for Russell Martin getting the job to begin with, but I think it will come good, but I don't think he's going to get much time. He's not going to get any more time, you know. So if we do performances well in Europe, it's, like you said...
To be fair, though, you've said you still think he'll come good. That's more than a lot of Rangers fans, is it not?
Well, I saw a stat when he was at Southampton. I think he lost his first four games and then went on a wild spree, winning spree, and it came good, but it's totally different up here to there, you know what I mean?
But that's growth.
I hope it comes good, but again, there's no time.
I think that's growth, Gordon. I've not heard, last week, I didn't hear many Rangers fans even saying they thought it would come good.
Yeah,
I'm going to get absolutely slaughtered.
Yeah, stick to your guns.
If it doesn't go good on Thursday night, we'll get Richard back on. But I said earlier, I think it's game to game. Look, there were signs at the weekend. I actually thought, right, I might get shot down flames here. I thought against Hearts at times, you know, a lot of decisions went against them. Obviously, they still lost a game. They went into a pressure game at the weekend. Look, I don't know what happened between him and Raskin, but Raskin was back in there and played very well, got the first goal, obviously. So there were signs it was getting better, Gordon. It may take a bit of time. I know a lot of Rangers fans, big percentage of them switched off already. They don't want him, doesn't matter what he does. But the only way he can get Rangers fans round is by winning games, and he's got a lot of big ones coming up.
Ross?
I can only agree with Gordon. You got to win games, but I said earlier, I think it's went that far now with the manager that if he does start winning games and he goes on a run, he's won four. Rangers fans are going to find something else. It'll be, okay, well, they've won four games, but, you know, they're not battering teams the way they should be at Ibrox or something ridiculous. I feel as if he's on a little bit of a hiding to nothing. And listen, a lot of people will probably say that that's deserved, because of the start that he's had. But I feel as if he sort of came into the club in acrimonious circumstances. They didn't want him. I think at that point, you've got to win every game at the start of the season. He hasn't done that. So it's just progressively got worse. And then you take the Lohman thing. You know, he could have done anything. He could have had them doing an extra day's training, and the fans would have said, why have you got them training? They should have been resting. He just can't do anything right for doing wrong.
Brendan Rodgers appears to have had a magician in over for his team bonding exercise the other week. You know, it's that magician put up pictures that he'd been in entertaining the...
Seriously?
You a fan of that?
Oh, I love that, yeah. What do you call the one that goes about his brilliant top one?
I mean, honestly, you need to give me more than that.
Does his card tricks? He went to Ibrox once. Dynamo.
He walks along the River Thames.
Dynamo. He's a man. Dynamo?
He'll be pleased to know that doing some card tricks is all the impression. He was juggling one time.
You had to buy time to realise who it is. He's brilliant. I've not seen him about for a while. That's why he must have been at Celtic Park.
Richard,
needs a bit of candy.
You mentioned this notion that Rangers are just sort of different in Europe.
Yes.
Such a change now, though. Different manager, different squad. Do you think that still can be the case?
I think with the draw that we got, it's very possible that we should get through. So yeah, I do think we've got a real chance in qualifying for the next round.
I mean, Gordon, I accept that it's because there's not a lot to compare it to, and the bar is quite low. But you would still, it remains a fact that Rangers' best moments this season have come in the Europa League, in the home games particularly. Pilsen and Panathinaikos, and I know you can make a case Panathinaikos probably should have
missed a few chances,
but like I said, that if you're Russell Martin, you'll be sort of clinging on to, well, anything that you can, and you don't have a long list of positives in the domestic games to lean into and show as evidence of what you've done. So I'm sure he will be referencing those European games and hoping they can take it into Thursday.
Yeah, 100%. Another stick he's got to get beaten with is, if he doesn't get a good performance Thursday, he came out a week ago and said, you should see us on a Thursday and Friday. We're really good. So they're waiting for him with that one. Look, it's a great chance away from the disappointment start to the league, but you'll need to get that up and running. There's no doubt, because that's your bread and butter. You cannot be sitting down there if you're Rangers, and I don't care how many games it is, in 11th place. So he has to get that moving. But this is a distraction. The cup was a distraction at the weekend, as much as the protests were there at the beginning of the game. It was a real difficult game for him, pressure game for him. He came through that. If he comes through Thursday night with a good result, then leading into a game that I think he should win on Sunday, all of a sudden Russell Martin's had not a bad week.
You sound at least a bit more generous to Russell Martin than some do, Richard. Does that mean you didn't particularly like the scale or the nature of the protests at the weekend?
No comment on that. I do believe that people had the right to do it, you know what I mean? Due to the fact that it's the worst start in 47 years or something, or even longer maybe. Yeah, I was on board with it at the start, but I've changed my mind.
Fair enough. That was Richard and Kilbarkin. We couldn't quite get him the victory.
Ah, lucky Richard.
But we tried our best.
Find out when Sid's on game.
Oh, listen, he's hopeless as
that
well.
That puts me right back in the frame, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, obviously.
Right back
obviously
in.
Obviously, you'll climb a bit. But you
contender. I'm a contender
Marvin
now.
Marvin Bartley's miles ahead of you. I was just looking at the TV and seeing some English games on, and we were talking about all different manner of topics and Beat the Pundit there, so it reminded me, I'm going to give you an extra quiz tonight. You up for that?
Yeah.
Just you.
Just me?
Because there was a bit of doubt cast over your performance there, I think.
Why?
On Beat the Pundit. There just was. So you ready for this?
You're moving questions about later.
I'm going to play you a clip, right? And right. I need you to tell me who they're talking about, right? So I'm going to play it. Listen carefully to the words.
Right.
This is nothing. Ross can't help you. This is all on you. Right. You need to listen to the way this player's been described and tell me who they're talking about.
Is he playing Scotland?
Just do it. Let's go.
The most technically gifted players.
He was unbelievable
ever
for us.
Played with. He is the only player that I've played with that has every type of finish in the back.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
He can whip it. He can chip it. He can volley it. He can
drive
it. Do you know what I mean? He can finesse.
I think he was the only reason we weren't down, wasn't he? Let's be honest in that first.
Kicks.
Yeah, he was.
Penalties. Like, as a finisher, wow.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
But right. People forget.
Pretty high praise.
He's English.
I'm going to go Haaland.
No.
It's Haaland or Harry Kane, surely.
I said you can't help.
All right.
No, it's not. When they were never going to be down. I'm going to go.
So he said he'd get every type of finish. Every type said.
Is he playing the England Premier League?
Currently?
Yeah.
Oh no. No.
Okay. I'm going to go Mbappe.
Close. I've heard he's
Dembele.
Similar to when would they two have ever gone down though? So the praise there, this guy's the best finisher.
Bellingham.
Every type of finish. Free kicks, volleys, drive, finesse.
Is he a centre forward?
He kind of played sort of off the
number
front, sort of.
10.
Yeah.
In number 10?
Number 44.
44, that's a bus.
Still not get that anyway.
Have you got that?
Yeah, I've got
You've got number 44?
I had it even before that.
He should have it.
Did you put.
As soon as he said every single finish in the bag, I knew exactly who it was.
Jack Grealish.
It's him. It's Ross McCormack.
It's me, mate.
Who's. Not a chance.
That is Fulham legend and captain Tom Kearney, who's starting for Fulham tonight, describing the man sitting to your right.
It's high praise.
Are you happy with that?
Mate, seriously?
You're in the presence of greatness.
I must admit, I didn't think you were that good, if I'm going to be totally honest with you.
Remember the first time I met you, I didn't even know who I played for.
I've Googled you and I've sort of looked at you.
But seriously,
YouTube.
So you didn't listen to that clip there and think that must be Ross?
No, I didn't. Where was that ability when you get subbed at half time with Doncaster?
Do you know what? It's actually been on my Instagram story for half a day.
He doesn't know how to work Instagram stories, though.
But I'll tell you what, I'm impressed with that. Well done.
I like to clip. And every
finish. Also, no, you didn't, because you never probably scored with your head, did you?
I scored loads of goals.
No, see the clip as well.
You're 5'2". You'd go under there with a top hat on.
It then cuts to like a montage of some of Ross's best Fulham goals. By the way, the standard.
I wouldn't have picked them ones.
Oh, they're not the best ones.
Nah,
I'm going to look at that, mate. I'm impressed. Do you know something? I used to think you were a lucky one sitting next to me. Now it's
how the tables have turned. Anyway, yeah. Big night in the Premiership as well. Give us a call, 01419511025, and we'll speak to you next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Ross McCormick are here. It's 01419511025. We've got a cracker of a full time teaser to give you. Thanks to Nathan, who sent it in. Nathan says, in honour of last night's Ballon d'Or ceremony, can you name 7 male players since 1980 who've won the lot? World Cup, Champions League, Ballon d'Or. So there are 7 since 1980 male players to win the World Cup, the Champions League / European Cup, and Ballon d'Or.
Messi.
Yeah, easy one. Okay, Ross, one from you if you've got any up your sleeve.
R9.
No,
don't be silly.
Why not?
Why not?
Because he hasn't.
Oh, he got beaten in the final in 98 France, didn't he? World Cup. Has he won the Ballon d'Or?
No, he won 2002, though. It's probably the Champions League, if anything, that's evaded him, no?
Oh, I didn't hear the Champions League part.
Kaká.
Yes. Brilliant. Okay, we'll leave it there because you've only got 7 to get, so you're making good progress. Thank you to Nathan. He fired up the email fulltime@clyde1.com and asked for the 7 male players since 1980 to win all 3, the World Cup, the Champions League and the Ballon d'Or. You've got Messi and Kaká so far. So one from Argentina, one from Brazil. Let's hear a bit from Brendan Rodgers. He's been speaking tonight over there in Belgrade. And here's what he had to say ahead of that big game tomorrow.
Yeah, after the initial disappointment, we were really looking forward to this competition. It's you know, you look at the 8 games we have, some great teams, historical teams, and it's a great challenge for us to be in it. So we're over that disappointment, and we're now really focused on doing well in this competition. Yeah, listen, we have to forget about the Champions League. That's gone. You know, we can't look back. It's very much looking forward to the future and how we can improve on and off the pitch. And we want to have a real good go at this competition. Champions League last season, we were competitive, which is we wanted to be. And likewise in this tournament here, we feel that we can, with the improvements that we will make as the season goes on. But obviously, starting tomorrow night, we really want to push to do well, and we feel we can do.
Full focus on the Europa League then, says Brendan Rodgers. What do you think as a Celtic fan, John?
I hope we get a good wee run in it, guys. You know what I mean? Hi, Daza. Hi, Ross. I think we should get a good wee run in it. So we should. My point was, I was trying to go on last night, Daza and Ross, and maybe better because you two have played centre forward. About Ian Acho, I thought the guy was absolutely showed a bit of class on Sunday. Obviously, he's not up to full fitness, but his link-up play with Tonetke and Tonetke and Kieran Tierney was good. But I just wonder if he'll bring Maeda back tomorrow too to play in one of the wings. I just wonder what you think.
It's got to be interesting, his starting line-up. We've already debated if Ralston's fit, will he go straight back in it, full-back. The forward there was always the one. Does Maeda play off a a flank? Well, obviously not, because he won't play off the left-hand side. Does he start through the middle with the counter-attack, especially away from home, with that pace that they've got? I think that Maeda will probably start through the middle tomorrow night, especially, as I say, away from home. You'd imagine they're not they're not the worst side. They'll have a go. They'll have a big crowd behind them. And I think on the counter with the pace that Celtic have got in the forward lines, then I think that would suit them right down to a tee.
Is it too early for Iheanacho to come and now start a game like this one, Ross, or can you see it?
I think he could, but I don't think he will, for the simple reason, as Dazzler's just said there, a counter-attack tomorrow. You need Maeda through the middle. I don't think he can drop Tonetke from the left. But I've been saying it for a while, haven't I? And I've probably been battered in some quarters about it when I talk about Maeda's link-up play and his touch and his technical ability. I think Iheanacho's went into that game there against Partick Thistle and showed exactly what a number nine who's got a touch and awareness about him does. There was three or four times I counted out with the goal when the midfielders have passed the ball to him at the right time. His first touch was really secure. There was one in the second half, actually. Someone whipped it into him and it bounced just in front of him and he killed the ball stone dead with his left foot and had the shot. And the keeper tipped it around the post.
Well, if you don't play him through tomorrow, through the middle of tomorrow night, you've got to leave him out, haven't you? Because you've already, Maeda. We've already discussed.
Right, okay. Keys nailed on, yeah, you would have thought,
yeah,
wouldn't you?
Yeah, 100%, Gordon. So, for me, that tells you that Maeda will probably start the game tomorrow night.
What do you think, John?
As I said, there's just, as Roy said, I mean, as the first for a couple of years we've had a real number nine, since maybe probably say Jack Amakis, but he's back to goal. And I thought his link-up play was absolutely brilliant. So his flicks and, no, feints and flicks were brilliant. They made him a bit yourself, Dazza, you know, back in the day.
Yeah, I know, mate. I know, the old days are the best.
Do we pigeonhole a bit? Because, fair enough, if we're talking back to goal up the pitch, but Kyogo is really effective at dropping in, getting it out wide early, starting moves that way. It's not like Kyogo didn't link the play.
You know what I like about Iheanacho though, and a lot of people probably don't notice it, see when the midfielders get the ball and they get it on the half turn, there's only a small window of opportunity to play that pass. See if Iheanacho's not wanting it or Maeda's not wanting it, that gap closes so quickly and the pass isn't on. The amount of times that he made himself available for that pass from one of the midfielders or a fullback, it was alarming how much more it was than what Maeda does. I'm not saying he's a better player, but in terms of you give it into a striker's feet, you want him to hold it and lay it off to the right person at the right time, he's the best man for the job.
See, listen to that insight. That's how he's the best finisher Tom Kearney's ever seen.
Yeah,
knows his stuff, this guy.
Tom Kearney, John, certainly knows his stuff. John, a word about him.
Are you excited to see what Sebastian Tonetke can do in Europe, given the way he started domestically?
He looks a baller. I mean, he looks very direct. And even the game last week, he linked up well with, is it Sarache, the boy, the Argentinian boy or Uruguayan boy? He linked up well with him as well. But I think him and Kearney seem to a lot of good link-up play against Patrick Thistle. He's really done well. So they did. I think he's won. But if they're saying that, he'll probably sell him next year for 20 million or something on Celtic.
Oh, great, and then we'll have another 6 month debate about if he's been replaced or not. Anyway, we'll look forward to it. Thank you very much to John on the line. Let's turn our attention to more pressing matters, time sensitive matters if you like, because we've got a massive game. There was once upon a time, they called this the new firm and talking about trying to win leagues and all the rest of it. It's a very different pressure for Aberdeen. Currently, the teams are out from Tanadice, Kucherenko in goal for United, Jovu, Esselink, Krestes, the back three, Stevenson and Ferry, the wing backs, Save and Kamara in midfield, Fata and Dolcek providing support for Zach Sapsford, who leads the line. Wow, this website that I have checked, the Aberdeen lineup, is doing me no favours because I don't think Kevin Nisbet will be playing as a holding midfielder, really. Mm-hmm. So let me quickly try and rearrange that in my head. Mitov in goal. Back four of Jensen, Dorrington, Knoster and Yamfe, Hilton, Nielsen and Polvara, the holding two, with Milanovic and Carlson either side of Stuart Armstrong, all in behind Kevin Nisbet. How big are we talking for Jimmy Tilleen? What does it mean? Quantify it to me.
Oh, massive. The next two games are massive. If he goes to Tannadice tonight and doesn't pick up anything, and then he comes to Motherwell, third partner at the weekend, and that's the same result, then I think the goodwill from the Scottish Cup goes out the window. I think he's under severe pressure. I know the argument is that he's been very well backed. They talk about, you know, going forward with him, this three-year project. I've heard that a million times, but when you're not winning games, you're sitting down the bottom of the league, you can't score goals, and you're out of cup, that soon goes out the window, that three-year project. So for a manager, it is massive the next two games.
Do you want a statement here?
Go on then.
Aberdeen, they win tonight.
Oh, there we go. So no pressure.
Stuart Armstrong, Kevin Nisbet, massive difference.
Back to his own.
They played the weekend.
No, but it takes people time. They beat Dundee United tonight.
There we go. Well, then there's no worry for the Aberdeen fans. I appreciate what you're saying, and it is true. Everyone's got a plan to get punched in the face and that sort of thing. The only thing I would say about Aberdeen, they certainly put out the right noises about being particularly committed to this three-year project. Now, I'm not saying that means he just gets 3 years regardless. You know, he loses every game for the next 2 years. Like, you know, I obviously don't mean that, but they do at least seem very committed to try and making that happen.
See, to be fair, I like the fact that some boards are very strong in their opinion. They see the future going with the manager, and they think, right, okay, we know we work with this guy, we see how he operates day in, day out, we communicate with him, we like the way he's talking, the results aren't going well just now, the fans are up in arms, they're not happy, rightly so. But sometimes if you're going to go down that road and you firmly believe in your manager, like Rangers are just now, you've got to say, then that's been strong. That's a difficult choice, because your fans are basically your lifeline in a football club. They're the people that come and pay the money. They support you. They buy the merchandise. They pay all the money into the club, really. So if you're a board and you're strong and you believe that's the way to go forward, then fine. But I'm talking about the fans now. I think the fans will be the exact same. If he loses tonight, then I think he'll get a real bad reception at Fir Park at the weekend.
Because the focus obviously goes on Aberdeen, but maybe overlooking Dundee United, made a really solid start to the season. Like many teams, look, it's not an outstanding points tally. You know, they're on 5 points, but after four games, so as an example, they've played two fewer than the likes of Dundee and some others in the league. They do just look like they've got it within them to go again. Mm. Despite all the talk about players leaving, different nationalities, integrating everyone, early season signs are pretty good.
Yeah, they're doing okay. And the forward areas, they're a real threat, Gordon. And the one thing, Dundee United fans have bought into this, the way Jim's recruited. I know he came in for a little bit of criticism at the beginning of the season when he signed all these players, and you're thinking, where's the room for a young Scottish talent coming through? But that's not Jim's worry. Jim's worry is about holding on to his job, getting results, getting Dundee United up that table, making them a force in football again. You said it there, Aberdeen and Dundee United were classed as a new firm. But I think that looking at those two teams, I think Dundee United can concede goals. I think Aberdeen have got players that, if they play at their form, can create chances and score goals. I think you'll be in for a lot of goals there tonight. I think it'll be a full house as well. I think it'll be an absolute cracker.
Falkirk against Hibs is interesting as well. Scott Bain in goal for Falkirk. Keelan Adams, Lewis Nielsen, Liam Henderson, Leon McCann at the back. Cartwright and Spencer, the deeper midfielders, with Williams, Tate and Miller behind Ross McKeever. For Hibs, Salinger continues in goal. The back three of O'Hara, Bashiri, Obita. So no Grant Hanley tonight after the weekend. Across the middle, Barlasser, Mulligan, Chaiwa, Cadden, a couple of them probably round the wrong way, Martin Boyle, Jamie McGrath, Kieran Bowie leading the line. Are Hibs in a maybe just a delicate spot, Gordon, where so much early season promise and so much praise for the European performances, they're not having a bad time of it, they're fine, they're getting some points on the board, but I think maybe just at that stage of people wondering if they were going to deliver more?
I never thought they were going to deliver more. I think you got to be pleased if you're a Hibs fan just now. I think they've built a good squad there. They're good to watch. They're good nigh. I didn't think they really deserved anything at the weekend. I thought a lot of people thought that Hibs were going to pitch up like Hearts and just beat Rangers and put them out the cup. It was always going to be a big, big ask. They didn't achieve that. I fancy them tonight. I think it'll be a long season for Falkirk. Look, John McGlynn and
he gets all the praise in the world, deservedly so. He's a terrific manager, terrific man, terrific coach, and done wonderful things at Falkirk. But I just think it's one league too big for Falkirk just now.
Yeah, but I don't know about one league. I just think tonight's game will be set up perfect for Hibs. Perfect. I think the way Falkirk play, how expansive they are, I think Hibs are experienced enough now to just wait. Martin Boyle, Kieran Bowie, and McGrath on the counter attack. And I must admit, I love Chaiwa in midfield. Every time I've seen him, I thought he's been great. I think this will be set up perfect for Hibs tonight.
Still no start for the big money signing, Cleagy, though. So interesting to see if David Gray can find the right formula. But we're looking forward to those two games for sure. Really good games tonight. What about Nathan's question that he emailed into us? Fulltime@Clyde1.com, by the way. Can you name the seven male players since 1980 who've won the World Cup, the Champions League and the Ballon d'Or? So Lionel Messi and Kaká.
Come on, son.
So I went R9. I'm going to go for his two partners.
His two partners.
Ronaldinho, yes. Rivaldo.
Yes, we'll get the rest of the answers when we return.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde 1 Super Scoreboard.
It's been a quick show tonight. We're into the final part already with Ross McCormack and Gordon DL. And crucially, we are underway in the two massive games in the Premiership tonight. Only 2 minutes in between Falkirk and Hibs, and it's actually the home side that have had the best chance early on, Gordon.
Yeah, good move down the left-hand side, ball into the far post, and McKeever knocks it down, but he just couldn't get the finish on it. The midfield player, I don't know who it was, Gordon, I couldn't see it on the screen, but very promising start from Falkirk on the front foot. I think that'll be a really good game tonight. I think Ross is right. I think Hibs will enjoy that because Falkirk will always love to play football.
Yeah, there'll be a bit of space to play in, I think, on the counter for Hibs, won't there? How expansive Falkirk are. But let's hope it continues in the same vein. I think it'll be a super game. I think there'll be a lot of goals in it. I just fancy Hibs to nick it.
Okay, keep your calls coming, by the way. 0141 951 1025. There is still time, we're running out of it, but I'm sure we can manage. We'll make something happen. On your teaser tonight, just another quick reminder, if you think you've got a bit of that in the tank, you could come up with a question and try and confuse the pundits. The address you need is fulltime@clyde1.com. So thank you again to Nathan for sending this in. He says, in honour of last night's Ballon d'Or, name the seven male players since 1980 who've won all three: the World Cup, the Champions League and the Ballon d'Or. Lionel Messi, Kaká, Ronaldinho, Rivaldo.
Well, we've got Zidane.
Did you tell me that before the break?
No, we're
telling you.
Okay, thank you.
Here's one for you. I'm going back a bit. Must be in there. Platini?
No, would you believe? He won the World Cup, I don't think.
France?
98 was the first time I think France won the World Cup, was it not?
Right, because there must be a couple of Spaniards in there.
Well, you tell me.
There's got to be at least one older kind of
Hence why it's since 1980.
Yeah. It's a German.
Cruyff?
Nope. Didn't win the World Cup, did he?
I don't know.
Must be a German.
Oh, I need names.
Yeah, just a German.
There is, in the interest of time, I can confirm there are no Germans.
Okay, there's no German.
No Germans.
Who was your favourite of
a goalkeeper in there? They're a goalie. There's always a goalie. Who's been brilliant?
Who was your favourite ever striker? Remember when you had to name one player? I said,
No,
you say that.
Beckenbauer, no, that
one. Have we not potentially found a bit of a problem in your theory?
What?
Well, there'll be many goalies won the Ballon d'Or, is there?
Nah. There's an Italian in there.
Right, so you've moved from Germany to Italy on your whistle stop tour of big European football
in the Bundesliga that he doesn't know.
Aye. Yeah, there's definitely an Italian right on that sheet, and I'm trying to figure out. Oh, Maldini?
No.
Baresi?
No.
My goodness.
You're on the right track, I'll give you that.
Italian.
And it's
centre forward.
It's more your era as well.
Yeah. He's the Milan striker. No.
It's your era, this.
No, Van Basten? Who let they didn't
what part,
to
of, what part of Italy are they from?
They played with AC Milan.
Okay, it's not really how nationality works, though, is it?
No, but I'm saying he played in Italy. But there's an Italian. The lad up front scored all the goals. Rossi, is it? Rossi?
Paolo Rossi. Rossi. Well done. Okay, that means you've only got one to get. Good, okay.
We got there, mate. We got there.
Yeah, sort of something.
Long
like
road.
That.
It's a long road.
Right, anything else happening between Falkirk and Hibs that you want to share with us before we...
I don't really know, Gordon. There's a across the globe there. In Italy, trying to find out who that
you
player is.
You were too busy worried about.
But I've got to say, it's got a good start to it. It's got a good pace to it. Falkirk are probably just on top. I know it's early, but it's a good start for John McGlynn's team.
You would expect that if you were Hibs, though, eh?
They've done absolutely fine, haven't they, since coming up. Again, the sample sizes are all small, but... think to that opening day or opening weekend draw against Dundee United, obviously getting the result against Aberdeen, albeit Aberdeen down to 10 men. So, you know, they've been absolutely fine and they'll return to the top flight.
Gordon, I think on their game, especially at home, I think they'll always be good. They'll be entertaining. I just think with the size of squad, lack of depth, and a long season, a long, hard season. Mm-hmm. I think they may just struggle.
Tell you what, though, Ross, I'm enjoying the tactical challenge here of Falkirk's high press, and it might just pay off. Ross McKeever has a shot saved because they squeezed the life out of Hibs. Rocky Bashiri tried to dribble past, I think, three Falkirk attackers who were in the box. They really are pressing Hibs high, and David Gray's side can't really get out. And it was a terrible pass from Jordan Obita, and it was played into McKeever. He's maybe 10 yards out on a slight angle, goalkeeper makes the save.
I didn't expect Hibs to be that open so early on. You know, grow into the game, you're away from home, you're expecting Falkirk to come out the traps early. You've got Bashiri trying Cruyff's 12 yards out. It was the Bashiri of last season there, wasn't it?
The good thing about Hibs now, though, Gordon, is that, so it's all right, they try to play out, but then they go direct. Kieran Bowie's a bit of a monster in those situations. He loves that physical battle, and he actually got Hibs into not a bad area there.
Yeah, yeah, and that's something that Hibs can certainly do. They've got players in the middle of the park that can play through the lines, as it's called, modern-day football. But if they want to go that direct route, they can go to Bowie, and you know that man Boyle will be running about looking for the flick-ons to give you a bit of problems. So they've got a few things in their locker, Hibs, and they're just settling into it, and here's Boyle as we talk.
Yeah, he's come into a dangerous area. He doesn't catch the shot, though. He did so much right with the run. Took it into a dangerous area, and Nicky Cadden does brilliantly. He's bamboozled Keelan Adams there. I think he might have knocked it through his legs and driven into the box. Going to have our first corner. I think Aberdeen very much dominating possession at Tannadice, which might surprise you, but nothing really doing there. No shots on goal or anything like that. So we will keep a keen eye before we disappear. We'll just see if anything comes of this Hibs corner. The big man Rocky Bashiri up.
He's a threat.
In there as well.
He's well known for getting his head on things from set plays. Dangerous.
Not to pick out individuals, because I think they all would have been always done as well. Bashiri, but it's down into the hands eventually of Scott Bain. Kieran Bowie was in there as well. There's been so much hype around Kieran Bowie, and he's deserved it, by the way. You know, he's earned that, but I can't get a sentence out here. This is end to end stuff. Falkirk are now in the box.
My pet nowadays, people in wide areas.
Do you think there was maybe a lot of expectation for Bowie to go and impact the game at Ibrox a bit more than he did the other night?
I think you're right in what you're saying. He got off to a great start. He's a good player, but he's still at that learning curve for me. In fact, it is Bowie.
Yeah, it's not Bashiri. He was in front of him, so it sort of looked like it
is Bowie, and I think he'll be highly disappointed. He's got to do better than that for me.
Well, it's old head it down, isn't it? But you just head it too far down, straight down to where you're standing, and it doesn't quite get the purchase right. We're nearly out of time on tonight's show, so let's finish the teaser. Seven players who've won the World Cup, Champions League, Ballon d'Or: Messi, Kaká, Ronaldinho, Rivaldo, Zidane, Rossi. There's not a goalie.
I'm going to go Roberto Baggio.
No.
How no?
You know, he was a good player. Seen away.
That was a good shout.
This sums you two up.
What's the clue? What's the...
This sums you two up.
How?
Because you've actually done quite well. But sometimes you've just got to take a step back.
Don't do well enough.
And just think, why are they asking the question?
World Cup. Who won it? Dembele.
The guy who won the Ballon d'Or.
Dembele.
Last night.
Dembele.
Seriously.
Yeah. We got it.
Well, just about. Usman Dembele, well done. God. Right, goalless in the two big games. Whatever happens, we will reflect on them tomorrow. But of course, it's a huge night for Celtic in Europe, and it'll be what UEFA call match day minus one for Russell Martin as well. So much to get through tomorrow night. Already looking forward to it. 6 o'clock, we will meet you right here. Don't forget, you can catch up wherever you get your podcasts. Watch us back on YouTube. Until tomorrow, have a good one.